We all have a Showbox memory, so what is yours? It could be because of the band that you saw or something crazy that went down at the venue, but we want to know what is your ultimate Showbox memory. Call 206-803-ROCK. Joe Dredd, you're in West Seattle this morning. What is your Showbox memory?
Hi, guys. So, let's see. I'm actually looking at the ticket right now. In 2006, Paul Stanley came through town doing a solo tour.
Joe, I was hoping this is where you... I saw your name on the list, and I'm like, I hope he brings up the Paul Stanley show, because I was there, too, and that was one of my favorite concerts I've ever been to.
Now, one of the very cool things about it, his backup band was the house band from that show, Rockstar.
For NXS.
And those guys were an incredible band. Now, here's the cool part of this. When we get there, we're sitting over by one of the satellite bars, you know? So I go up to the bartender. I give him a $20 bill. I go, this is for you. You see me standing in line, you take care of me, okay? And he would go, he would cut like maybe 5-6 people off to take my order because of that. But while we're watching the show, my wife's like, well, being that you're in a Kiss tribute, you think we can get backstage? I go, no, this is Paul Stanley. It's not Gene Simmons. If it was Gene Simmons, it'd be no problem.
Okay.
So I blow it off. So I go up to the bartender. I'm getting ready to cash out. And he's like, hey, you wouldn't be interested in these with you. Holds up a couple backstage passes. So I tell you, this is what you get when you tip your bartender in advance. You take care of your wait staff. They're taking care of you.
And, as far as the show itself, I remember going, maybe he'll play one or two Kiss songs. I'm sure it's going to be a lot of his solo stuff, which I dug. I'm a big Paul Stanley fan. So the fact that I'm like 10 feet away from Paul Stanley at the Showbox was just bonkers to me. And I'd say half, if not more than half of that set were Kiss songs.
Oh, yeah. Dude, when he busted into Got to Choose,
yes.
It sounded just like the studio version. I got chills all over my body.
Look at the goosebumps right now, Taryn Daly.
You guys are both goosebumping this morning.
Oh, dude, when he did Do You Love Me, I'm like, yeah, I do.
Oh, boy. 206-803-ROCK. Casey, you're on 405 this morning. What is your Showbox memory?
First of all, that was an awesome story. So my memory is a little bit different. So I went to see Fuel and Chevelle, and it was an awesome show. But Fuel started out, first couple, two, three songs, just banging it, doing their thing. All of a sudden, I'm just watching, and I can see you just felt tension all of a sudden.
The singer
looks over at the guitarist, and he is not happy about something. And then the drummer, everything just worked together. That I don't know if that is the beginning of where the end started, but you literally could feel the tension in the music the rest of the show. And it's probably one of the most, I've seen so many shows. This is probably one of the most memorable things that I've ever felt when watching a show, how it just turned the tide. And granted, they still killed their set, but it was just, you could literally feel they went from basically a rock band to like a death metal band almost feeling.
So while the show's going on,
the visuals on that thing, they were just insane. If you could cut someone with your eyes, oh man,
dude,
it was crazy.
I bet in the back of your head, you're like, what happened before they came on stage to set them off?
Oh man, I don't know, but from my understanding is, I think it was not too long afterwards, that's when the singer was gone.
Oh, and you're probably like, okay, now that explains it.
You were watching them almost break up on stage.
I've seen a couple of bands where you could tell, I remember seeing Faith No More. It wasn't at the Showbox, it was at the Moore Theater. And you can tell that they soon broke up after that for a very long time. And you're like, oh, yeah, they didn't like each other at all. Like, there were some death glares going on stage. And also, you could kind of see them, mumbling stuff to each other. And I don't think they were saying, hey, good job on the last song.
No.
206-803-ROCK.
Tacoma Bob, what is your Showbox memory?
Hey, good morning, everybody. And you know the drill. I'm on the water. But anyhow, I saw Joan Jett and the Blackhearts in the early 80s at the Showbox. And some guy was right up front, and he spit on her from the, he's like leaning against the stage, and he spit on her. And I saw her kick his head like she was kicking a field goal. And he literally went up in the air, flew about 3 feet back, and dropped like a sack of potatoes.
Oh, I'm glad she found the right guy, because that would have sucked if she missed that dude and hit somebody else.
Oh, yeah. No, she nailed him.
Oh, man. You don't mess with Joan Jett.
No, that would have been awesome to see Joan Jett in the 80s.
Oh, my gosh.
Peak time for her. That would be so
sure.
Sick. Yeah.
206-803-ROCK. Michael from Tacoma, what is your Showbox memory?
All right, so I had just seen Static X to perform, and I was talking to Tony Campos from Static X. I see a group of people screaming down the road, and me and my girlfriend walk to the road, and then we follow the crowd. And apparently the crowd was chasing Wayne Static, and he ran into a strip club, and the 7-foot bouncer let nobody in.
Wow. See, that's how I always tell my wife whenever she finds out I was at the strip club. I'm like, I was just being chased by people. I needed somewhere to escape to.